Oh, yeah, it's great. This is great riding weather. I mean, the summer is just way, you know, depending on where you are, I mean, you get hot.
Yeah, because you got the leather on and, you know, I saw a lot of, it was a gorgeous weekend, and saw a lot of people out. I thought of you, and we were in Brooklyn. We were at Barclays Center on Saturday night.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, that's right. I heard you were going to go there. Yeah.
Oh, it was great. What a scene down there, by the way. That Fifth Avenue there in Park Slope.
Yeah.
My God, what's gone on there is unbelievable.
It really is. It's great. It's a great area, and there's some really great places to eat there. You know, nobody knows about, but they're consistently pretty good.
We found just by I put it in Spencer's hand, our youngest son, and we brought his roommates too, and the five of us went to see the Avett Brothers, and he found a place that was just terrific on Fifth called Blueprint, a little tiny place.
Yeah, I've seen it.
It's
seen it.
Really nice.
Yeah.
They basically do, you know, they do small plates. It's a bit of a tapas feel, but they do a charcuterie plate with, you know, they've got a house special, three meats, three cheeses, or you could pick. That was tremendous. They had fabulous roast Brussels sprouts. They had a couple of little sort of bruschetta style pizzas.
Yeah.
The bartender was the they're doing their own custom drinks. The staff was wonderful. Blueprint, and they got a little patio in the back too. That place is a
nice. I'll try that. I'll check it out. Yeah.
Nice. I'd love to get back to us. Sid, a couple of things to talk about, and we had over the last 48 hours a couple of stallions that are headed to, you know, their future home. That includes Preservationist yesterday to Airdrie, and then of course at Hillendale. And Hillendale announced its stud fees for next year. Move a little premature of World of Trouble, and he'll stand by his own sire, Cantheros. What's the appeal of a, you know, Cantheros is a relatively mid-priced stallion. How do you differentiate going to World of Trouble versus Cantheros?
I can't recall his stud fee. Do you remember it?
World of Trouble. Let me see. They announced it, so it should be $15,000, and Cantheros is $30,000.
Yeah, Cantheros got a bump up from 20 to 30. He's been going up from the time he stood for five in Florida, where he was Stone Street Stallion, just like McLean's Music and Curlin, which are at Hillendale. John has a great relationship, obviously, with Barbara Banky. And Cantheros kind of lit it up, had to come over to Kentucky, where he went to 15. Then he went to 20. Now he's going to 30. He's starting to get better mares, which is going to really help him. And to replace him at that same price or in that range, you know, you're talking 15 now, World of Trouble. And I got to tell you, I mean, World of Trouble, I think he's a terrific stallion prospect. I mean, he was so fast, versatile. I think he's a G1 winner on turf and dirt.
Correct.
Yeah, and he's from the actual family of Buchero, who stands in Florida. Buchero is also by Cantheros, again, another really fast sprinter. He stands for $5,000 in Florida. He got 130 mares his first year at stud, which is last year. I think you'll find that World of Trouble is going to be extremely popular. And it's interesting what John does consistently, and sort of what Airdrie and Brereton Jones used to do. They'll take the racehorse over the big pedigree. That's what Army Mule, for example, another extremely fast horse, but he's by Frisian Fire, skips a generation to AP Indy. Cantheros creating his own line from that Tale of the Cat sire line. So they're just practically creating this sire line right now. So he'll do that kind of stuff. And again, even McLean's music, even though it's by distorted humor, it was only raced once, which was a sensational performance. One huge. He'd been a $950,000 or $900,000 RNA for Stone Street. They raced him once. That was it for him. But they put him to stud anyway, and he got Preakness winner, Cloud Computing, from his first crop. So John's had that type of success, and he's going to keep going back to the well when he gets that really fast horse that has the form that he thinks. And don't forget, he also stood Candy Ride first with that oddball pedigree, Ride the Rails, when nobody would touch him. He only had six starts. Made him before he got moved, and he also started Medaglia d'Oro at Hillendale too. So he's got a real track record of starting horses without the big pedigree on him or the big sire line. And I think he's had success doing it. Brary Jones has had success doing it, and that's become a characteristic of Hillendale.
There's a couple of things that when you compare Cantheros's page to World of Troubles, that's notable, and that is the female family offers a real diversity for World of Trouble, who's a four generation outcross.
Yeah, but it helps, like I said, that this horse also has another huge Cantheros in the pedigree. You know, that kind of confirms how well the sire line has done with this family, and you kind of want to see that. And it's really a speed type of pedigree. Cantheros, World of Troubles Dam is Valid Expectations. That's a valid appeal horse. Mount Livermore is the sire of his third dam. Great Above is the sire of his fourth dam. Great Above, of course, the sire of, among others, Holy Bull. That's the same sire line of Dr. Fager, Gruff and Tumble. So there's speed that's packed in this pedigree, and he certainly ran to it,
And, I mean, the fact that he arguably, I mean, certainly Michael Dubb kept telling Jason Service that he was better on, that he was faster on turf than dirt, fast enough, obviously, to win that Carter, which really enhances what was already a developing and impressive resume, but to be a grade one winner on both the turf and dirt, and to also have been precocious, he was good at two, and he stretched out admirably, graded stake placed over a route of ground, the Tampa Bay Derby. You look at that pedigree, and I do see some markers that that might tick, and he kind of feels like, going to stud, he feels like a potential Spitestown type that might get different kinds of runners, middle distance and turf milers, right? I mean, he's got Seattle Slough in there, as the Seattle Slough line represented, the In Reality line, when you mentioned Valid Expectations, Conquistador Cielo in Cantheros's female family, Codex. I mean, there's stamina, there's some turf, there's a little bit of everything going on. That's maybe why he was what he was.
Yeah, that's true, and you don't know exactly. Most speed horses, if they become good sires, can actually get horses that stay farther, depending on the mare. And the great pedigree theorist Franco Varola, I think, explained this best. Now, just consider this: they have to be good sires first, but if they are, there's what you're talking about, what Franco Varola refers to as a trans brilliant sire, which is a brilliant speed horse that can transfer it to longer distances, depending on how the mares are, too. And then there's a sire that Franco Varela classified just as a pure brilliant sire, and that's no matter what, he's only getting sprinters. Now, there are some of those more in Europe than they are here. The acclamation, royal applause line of try my best is well known in Europe for that. Sometimes the sire line will be that way for a few generations and then break open into a different thing. Now, that's the beauty of this game, is you never know when, at what point, a transformation starts to take place. I mean, take a horse like Mr. Prospector, right? Byways native, real speed horse, same profile as Pantheros, went to stud, not in Kentucky, even though he was a leading yearling that year. Butch Savin, Ace Coast Stable, put him to stud himself down in Florida, got It's in the Air, an Eclipse Award winner from his first crop, and then later, with the assistance of Peter Brandt, telling Seth Hancock, we need to bring this horse up. They brought the horse up, and by breeding Phipps mares, Claiborne mares, Brandt mares, all the big Claiborne syndicate type of client type of mares to this horse, he ended up obviously getting a Derby winner, a Conquistador Cielo or a Belmont Stakes winner. I mean, you know, he transformed himself. He himself was a sprinter. His sire was a sprinter, but there was a change with him, and I think you could classify that as a trans-brilliant example.
Excited for next season already, and when it comes to these new stallions, we'll see what kind of recommendations. You'll do some mare analysis, and of course, when you work with Sid and work Thoroughbred Consultants, you get the brood mare compatibility analysis. And people love new stallions. It's the shiny new object in the
exactly.
Sky.
Exactly. Exactly. And I'll tell you what, one of the big stories, Steve, was Liam's Map at Lane's End. Yep. We've been on this show, we've been counting down the years about when Unbridled Song is going to get that potential successor. And, you know, we've been going right down the line. Last year, Cross Traffic at Spendthrift got the Eclipse Award-winning two-year-old champion. But what's happened now in a short period of time, actually since the beginning of July to now, is that Liam's Map, who's probably one of the most atypical physical sons of Unbridled Song, he has now two G1 winners in his first crop, two-year-olds. The year's not even out. He's catapulted himself to number four on the first crop list behind Constitution, American Pharaoh, and Competitive Edge. And he's, you know, when you get two grade one winners from your first crop, that's pretty serious. And he bears some serious watching because, I mean, those are phenomenal numbers.
There's a couple in addition. I was going to bring up Liam's Map because for those that haven't had a chance to look at the sale results from yesterday, Liam's Map, one of the big sellers, and I do want to get a little bit of sales stuff in Sid as well. Liam's Map, obviously, a big day as part of the select portion, but there were some other really notable, I thought, successes. Spitester, again, we talked at Keeneland. Spitester had five offered, and there's none in the open offerings today. Five for five, Spitester, yesterday. He sold through at nice prices, at nice multiples of his stud fee. The Big Beast is crafting, a story to watch. Five for five for him. Upstart, four for six, two RNAs. Uncaptured, eight for ten. Exaggerator had a good day. Kozan, who we brought up last week as well. Those were some. Those were some. And Leaban, by the way. Leaban, it looks to be kind of percolating on the back burner.
Yeah. Son of Uncle Mo. I mean, you know, Florida has a history of making stallions, horses that can start off really quickly. The environment is conducive to early maturity. And, I mean, it sometimes trumps the pedigree and makes you quick. And these types of horses that you're talking about, Steve, those are the type of horses that you figure to be early developing horses, quick horses. Some of these horses, obviously, will come back. And, especially these local horses, some of these smaller regional horses that they've taken down there, they performed a lot better than some of the big name horses, which perhaps have problems when you try to shop them in a secondary market.
You know, you mentioned, we mentioned Liam's Map, and to give everybody the specifics about yesterday, before I talk about the grade one winners, the two-year-olds from the weekend, a Liam's Map colt, fairly late in the session yesterday, Nick Demerick, and Demerick actually brings home the top two knockdowns, $230,000 for the Liam's Map out of Dad's Silver Pitcher. Kentucky bred and offered by Select, $230,000. The Empire Maker, the second biggest fetch yesterday, $190,000 to Demerick from the Van Langen Docks, Summerfield. And this an Empire Maker out of Sweetest Sound. And Empire Maker himself had a nice stake winner, right? Over the, who was it? He had somebody.
Well, there was Eight Rings.
That's
grade
what
one
it was last week. Last
year.
Week. Yeah. I knew there was one the last couple
and
of
that's
weeks.
From his first, that's from his first crop back.
Right.
So that's pretty huge. Yeah.
Well, and it's a little late to maybe to change things for Flashback, but Flashback, who moved to Pennsylvania and is going to be a Diamond B, 3,500 British Idioms win. And you've got to be close to this, given the connection to the Wests.
Yeah, in fact, we recommended that mare for them to breed to that horse. What happened was the West, when they were standing Flashback and Power Broker and New Year's Day at John Sakura's place, Hillendale, they wanted us to shortlist some mares, inexpensive mares, for those horses. Well, one of those mares was the Dam of Maximum Security. The other one, another one of those mares, is the Dam of British Idiom.
Unbelievable. And so,
It's unfortunate that if both of those had been first crop grade one winners, Steve, it'd be a totally different story for those horses. They'd be at, they'd still be at Hillendale and they'd be popular. It just tells you, you know, it just shows you what happens if you don't strike right away.
Which feels a little unfair, and maybe a little too aggressive in decision making. Sometimes maturation and the way. Who knows? Some of the vagaries, but. I mean, it's certainly a great opportunity for Pennsylvania breeders to now get to him. For 3,500. Street Sense got Maxfield, and of course, this is a home brew for the boys in blue. Godolphin with a very big weekend, but getting Maxfield, who really does look like a serious player heading to Breeders' Cup and in the hands of Brendan Walsh, who is not necessarily a guy who cranks him up early. So a nice one for Street Sense. We already talked about Liam's Map and what he's got going, but Wicked Whisper, a terrific win. Delighted for the Lieblongs to get a grade one winner. And then there was Constitution, who's the sire of the New York bread or the
Constitution is absolutely on fire. I mean,
yeah, tis the
he
law.
Got the G1 winner in that race, and he missed with Governor Morris, you know, ran second in that race.
That's right.
So there's, you know, I mean, just a phenomenal performance by Constitution and Windstar. This stallion is number two, right? No, he's actually leading First Crop Sire ahead of American Pharoah right now. And, you know, if not, it's very likely he could get another G1 winner as well. G1 winners are very hard. And to put this into perspective, consider that the leading general sire, Into Mischief, up until this year, if you take this year out of it, through the end of 2018, with all the success he's had, he only had three G1 winners. He's added two more this year, so he's got five. Consider then that Liam's Map already has two, and they haven't even run at three, and it's from one crop. That's your comparison right there about a potential, you know, breakout stallion.
Both Liam's Map and Constitution, and it immediately reflected in the sales action this week at OBX.
Because
instantaneous.
The Liam's Map for 230, he also had one for 110 in the sale, but you couldn't have timed it better, right? The other thing hidden between all of this, Steve, I want to just quickly throw out there. Bernardini this year has five G1 winners, the Broodmare sire. He's got eight overall, but five this year alone, which is absolutely phenomenal. And he looks like he's going to be a sire of Broodmares, just as Unbridled Song is. And Unbridled Song may end up getting Liam's Map and Arrogate as two sons, but it'll be at the end of his career. He's known as the sire of Broodmares, and I think Bernardini is going that same route. Hmm. His daughters are doing much better than any of his sons.
Now, that's another theme that we hit on, and you know, then down the road, you'll see the heavy influence on the Broodmare sire side.
That's right. Yeah, when you get and also once you start getting to the November sale, it'll start to show there. Bernardini was bred to so many good female families that it's not surprising that this takes place. Ultimately, the weight of female families tell, and if you have a sire that's been bred to great female families, take Secretariat as an example. Wasn't a sire of sires, but was a phenomenal sire of broodmares and a broodmare sire of sires. You know, when you think of Gone West, et cetera, Stormcat. So what you got here is you watch stallions as they may be potential sires of sires, and you also watch certain stallions that you think are going to be broodmare sires. And if you're going to watch those, you got to look at a horse like a Bernardini type that have been bred consistently to good mares right from the outset. So those will have an impact immediately.
Well, we wonder one more stallion to bring up, because I've had it sitting on the corner of the desk for weeks on end, and I keep forgetting to bring it up to you, Sid. Take Charge Indy's return to North America. It didn't look like it was going to happen, but it is going to happen.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting because really what happened was their option was through October of 2018 to bring him back, and at that point, Elliot Walden had, obviously talked to different people, and he asked me what my opinion about it was as well. And I told him, you know, there hasn't been a lot of success of horses that have been exported and then come back. And apparently that was kind of a consensus viewpoint for him last year. But this year, they went ahead and did it. And I think the impetus was the success that Empire Maker was having in the sales arena and the actual success that Take Charge Indy was demonstrating with his second crop. That's a nice return because he's an AP Indy son, and those are, scarce right now at this stage of the game. Bernardini, of course, the son of AP Indy as well. And then you've got Honor Code, you've got Commissioner among the young guys. So, I think this horse will be pretty popular, and he has been succeeding with that second crop, which is really important.
It's getting to be that time of year, and of course, as soon as Breeders' Cup wraps up, any number of mares, particularly, will head to Keeneland and to Phasig for the bloodstock redistribution. That's right. Always the coda to every Breeders' Cup, and that is typically the kickoff to the breeding season and the bloodstock sale. And of course, we've got one actually coming next week right here, because broodmares and broodmares in foal, plus some weanlings and yearlings at Saratoga a week from yesterday. And looking forward to going over there. Sid, yep. This was terrific. I appreciate it as always. And the time is right, everybody. We're trying to, I know it's busy, but you got to get a hold of Sid, Sire Watch, work Thoroughbred Consultants and all the things that go into the Enix program. If you've got a new stallion in your marketplace and he's not listed
register
yet, he should
him.
Be.
Yep.
Register is important.
Exactly.
And it's a bargain. 510-490-1111 plus your broodmares. And while we're with Sid, I'm going to remind virtually daily now till next Tuesday, the deadline for your foal nomination for the Breeders' Cup is October 15th. You will not spend a better $400 in the life of your foal. And whether you're going to race or whether you're going to sell, if you're going to sell, that little Breeders' Cup nominated down there is worth money in the sales ring. And if your horse becomes any kind, this is $400. Think of it as an insurance policy. Go ahead. $400. You can do it right online. I've done it with the ones that we've bred that survived.
That's right.
We've had the worst luck ever. But $400, you cannot go wrong, and it's got to be done by October 15th. Don't miss out. Don't
All right,
have to.
Steve, I'll
Thanks,
I'll
Sid.
I'll see you next week.
You
okay.
Got it.
Bye.
Sid Fernando, everybody. And this also goes for your stallion. If you the reason that Mongolian Groom wasn't Breeders' Cup nominated eligible was because Hightail isn't a registered stallion. That, that contributes to this thing as well. So go to the website, Breeders' Cup, and the nomination process, $400, put it on a card. It takes 2 seconds. Let's take a break. Bottom of the hour just passed, and Steve Haskin is going to join us a day early because he's traveling to Kentucky for the Secretariat Festival and all those fun events. But he's also hurting a little bit with the leg situation. Steve Haskin next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years. We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent, the son on Afternoon Delights, absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade One race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on SiriusXM Radio.
As if there's something new, kid. With a patient performer, we get in the corner. We were just tuning you out. We gotta go.
We're back at the races. 20 minutes to the top of the hour. Steve Haskin moving up a day. There was just so much to talk about. And Steve headed to Kentucky tomorrow for the tours and the Secretariat Festival and that big agenda that is laid out and so many people are you know, traveling to. And he's going to have to soldier through because he's not doing good.